From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio 2 days prior to Thanksgiving, 2 days prior to the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State from Starkville on an ESPN game Thursday night. Quick reminder, this will be your last podcast, at least for this show, until Thursday night. Friday morning, we will return at that point with regularly scheduled programming, but we're going to take tomorrow off, going to take Thanksgiving Day off, and then come back with you then. Obviously, that's barring any type of NCAA update, but good luck getting that in the next 48 hours probably. So that's our schedule if we start the show. Also, this week we're going to give you an Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. It's a packed one with Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market. Also, bartender extraordinaire Jonathan Howard is going to entertain you with cocktails. So food and cocktails on the Beer Garden this week. Also,
Taylor Zarzer.
Taylor Zarzer too, that's right.
30-something minutes with Taylor Zarzer. That's lots right. of coaching carousel.
Did you ask him about Tiger coming back?
I did not ask about Tiger. Sorry.
I got one question.
You failed to tell me.
Well, he's a golf guy. I thought maybe he might, you know, branch out a little bit.
I know this will shock you. I don't think about golf that much. It has to be.
He's back in 9 days.
I'm glad.
Okay.
I'll get Taylor back on, and maybe you can come in, and you can ask him about Tiger.
Okay.
Also, y'all can talk golf to your little heart's content.
Also, a soft verbal presented by Billy's Pecans with Chris Brooks of Mississippi Gridiron as well. So those podcasts to you today along with this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West. Remember, they can help you out with Thanksgiving. They can help you out with your lunch specials at $4.99. They got ribs every single day. They got daiquiris when you just need a little libation as the family comes around and Thanksgiving's come around. If you need a break, the Oxford Exxon can hook you up there. And also, again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. It's very simple. You call that number, you ask for Corey Clark. When you get Corey on the phone, you tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will then send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Seriously, it's that simple. That's all you have to do. Now, you can make it more complicated. You get your quote, and you can just go all crazy Black Friday on people, and you can shop and shop and shop and shop. It's your time. It's cool. Do what you want. Or you can let Corey do for you what he and the people at Clark Ford have done for so many other podcast listeners. That's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. So simple, easy. You get a great product, great service after the sale with no hassle. Just simple. Make it even better. Mention any of the podcasts Chase just mentioned or this one. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
On today's show, we're going to talk a little Thanksgiving. We're also going to talk an extended conversation with Ben Craddock. You know him through the Oxford Exxon, played at Ole Miss in the late 90s through the Tommer Tuberville, David Cutcliffe eras. It was around for four Egg Bowls, including the 1997, the 20th year anniversary of the fight. The game Ole Miss won 15-14 when Tuberville went for two, and they hit Corey Peterson in the end zone to win that one. Antonio Morales with a really good oral history in the Clarion Ledger today about that game from the fight leading up to State dominating most of the game, and then Ole Miss has come back there at the end. So he talked to a lot of different people, Deuce, Tuberville, Craddock, and more. And we'll talk to Ben for a while today about that as well. Also, Neil will tell his story about how he knew a week ahead of time that Tommy was headed to Auburn. Well, Tommy told you at one point a week ahead of time.
He finally admitted it, yeah.
Yeah, that's more what I was leaning toward. So anyway, that on to today's show. Thanksgiving 2 days away.
Yeah.
It's kind of snuck up on me this time. It doesn't feel like the holiday season to me quite yet.
Okay.
It's here. You appear to be a little bit in the mood right now. I don't know.
It's gotten cooler.
You're almost jolly.
It's gotten cooler.
Relatively jolly.
Yeah, I mean, it's colder. I like the cold.
You got Christmas decorations out in some places.
Yeah, and that's not all my call, but yeah.
I saw all the stuff out on the little shelf thing out there.
Yeah.
Little trees.
Yeah.
Tree's not up yet, though.
Yeah, trees
oh,
up.
Is it?
Trees up.
I did not walk around that way.
And there's a tree that we put upstairs because the kids like a tree, and I put the kid tree upstairs. I did it last night while I was watching the Thunder choke against the Pelicans, which kind of made for – Thunder was up by 19 when I started, so I was kind of jolly. By the time I finished, the Thunder had lost.
I wasn't so jolly.
Some of the lights didn't work, and I was like, F it. Who cares?
Dylan saw a good game last night. He went to Mavs-Celtics last night. Celtics came back in the fourth quarter, ended up winning in overtime in Dallas. But anyway, going to talk to Ben a little bit about Thanksgiving. It's coming up. Again, obviously, a lot of you people will be at or probably more watching the Egg Bowl than at, judging by visitor attendances. Except for you lovely people in the Golden Triangle, you'll be there. But
if you're an Ole Miss fan, I'm serious when I say this. This is not an insult. If you're an Ole Miss fan and you don't have a child playing in the game, cheering at the game, dancing at the game, whatever, why are you going? Because I'm honest here. I'd be a little worried about my safety, and I'll tell you the reason I think that's legitimate now.
Okay.
When the two schools have to put out a press release together, and by the way, if I were Ole Miss, I would have said, no, screw y'all, man. We're not doing that. Issue your own damn release. What I would have said.
You would have signed it.
I would not have signed it. I understand why Ross did, because Ross is magnanimous and you have to sometimes do things that you don't want to do. But no, man, you guys are the reason this thing's gone to hell like this. I haven't written it all week because I don't think Ole Miss has a chance to win the game. I swear to you, I believe this in my heart of hearts. It's going to upset you on MSU Twitter, though most of you will have to come up with the news.
You've blocked a lot.
I haven't blocked. I've muted.
Oh, so you're no longer Mutombo.
You're sending to me, and you just don't realize that I'm not seeing. It's no way in hell. No way in hell I'd go take that trophy. No chance.
Shake hands and walk off the
Shake
field.
Hands, walk off the field, shower or whatever you do, get on the bus, and go home. And leave the damn thing laying on that field and make them have to think about, well, what do we do with it now? But Mississippi State's the reason this thing's gotten so out of hand. But if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're going to that game and you're going to wear your Ole Miss stuff, it's nighttime, it's dark, no chance. And I'll go on further. Most of the police that'll be around there are Mississippi State people. No chance in hell I'm going to that game if I don't have to go.
There'll be a lot of people
that
go because they feel like they owe it to Matt and the team to go one last time.
It's fair. I get it.
That will be the reason. And now, look, again, visitor attendance has dwindled so much in this game over 10 years. Just me judging by my eye. I don't know. Maybe it hasn't, but that's what it looks like.
Somebody
gets popped by a cowbell every time.
Do they?
Yeah, most of the time you have some kind of fight between some drunks and somebody gets hit.
Yeah.
There's
cowbell looks like it would cut you open.
Just having the cowbells would give me more pause.
Yes.
Because it can be a weapon.
Well, they're metal.
They are. Still think it's stupid they can ring them, but...
Of course it is.
It makes no sense.
Kudos to Scott Strickland. He got that through.
State does a decent job of stopping until the game gets really close, and then they don't stop.
You know. One of these days, other schools are going to wise up and make it an issue, and that'll be the end of it.
State hasn't been consistently good enough for it to be an issue. They haven't beaten Alabama. And that's not an Alabama conspiracy theory.
Alabama put metal detectors. I bet you don't hear cowbells next year in Tuscaloosa.
No.
And people go, well, it's Alabama. Kudos to Alabama. Figure it out. It's not complicated. Figure it out.
Strickland got them listed as a tradition, which allows it.
Yeah. Metal weapons should not be allowed in stadiums. When I go to Wrigley Field or Camden Yards or any of the places like that, I go through a metal detector. Not a big deal. I never go, oh, God, I'm going through a metal detector. My rights are being violated. I go through a metal detector.
Well, it's like when we talk about it later with Tuberville banning flags and different things, he had to ban the sticks. That was the way they got that thing pushed through.
Yeah. I mean, it's because...
The flag was on the stick.
It's because of Ole Miss's administration was terrified of upsetting some old people, for being honest. but it worked.
So over or under 5,000 Ole Miss fans?
Under.
Under 5?
Oh, yeah. I might go under 2.
Seems low.
Seems different.
But, I mean, as a parent now, I mean, I can remember not that long ago a game we didn't mention, but while Ben was there. And I was in high school, 1999. Ole Miss had a lead. Romero threw the pick off Robert Bean's foot.
Oh, yeah.
State came back and won when Cutcliffe tried to push it down the field.
The kick, yeah.
The kick, yeah. I've watched that game basically from an MSU section because I went with a relative that was an MSU fan. I don't know that I'd be okay with that now. Being the only Ole Miss person in that area surrounded by state people.
No.
Because I'm in high school and whatever. I mean, nope, it was fine. I mean, other than a little ragging, no big deal. But
the rivalry is too caustic right now. It's out of control. It's not healthy. This is not healthy. It's not a healthy rivalry.
State people bashed Kellenberger when he called it too toxic last year, year before, and said he was crazy. He's right.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah. They said it was too. They disagreed because they couldn't take the responsibility of what had happened.
Well, they want it to be toxic. Whoever is the next Ole Miss coach doesn't need to walk in making that a great big deal. Win the game. Let it be.
We play 8 SEC football games.
Ole Miss tried some of that yesterday from a rhetoric standpoint.
Matt Luke did a hell of a job yesterday avoiding anything that would be considered inflammatory.
And he got asked some – frankly, Yancey Porter asked some angry questions. Yancey was angry. Was asking angry questions, and Matt handled it
He batted
superbly.
Away. Yeah.
Matt Luke's name's going to pop up at South Alabama. Joey Jones resigned yesterday.
He did.
He's going to pop up at some other places. Because I think Matt has done a really strong job for himself this year. I don't believe he's going to be the head coach at Ole Miss next season. I do not. Absolutely do not. I don't think that's any longer truly in consideration. I'm not criticizing Matt. I wrote about this on Sunday. I think Matt has done a fantastic job doing precisely what it was that he was asked to do. I think Ole Miss owes him a very big thank you.
He's batted 1,000 on presenting himself as the head of a program.
Keeping a program together.
Yeah.
There has not been any quit. There's not been any off-the-field problems. They've done a really – given the set of circumstances, and I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm not criticizing people for getting obsessed with wins and losses. This season was never going to be about wins and losses.
It's down the list so much, but – and we've talked about it a little bit. His handling, though, with the media has been better than a lot of coaches who have done this for 10 years. And Matt's a guy that never really did a lot of interviews. And we talked to him some, but he was not an assistant that walked in every single week. He was never the primary coordinator that we talked to weekly. And from the understanding of the correct way to handle injury reports to the correct way of when to give a detailed answer and when to, kind of like yesterday, bat some questions away to avoid conflict. It's been an A-plus job for a guy who did not have a lot of experience doing that. And frankly, out of a lot of the things, I thought he would hold the team together as well as possible. I thought that he could use his own experiences. I thought there was a really good fit there for him to be able to pull that off in a genuine manner.
Yes.
Some of his media skills, though, have far and away exceeded what I expected from him.
He handled the season better than Hugh Freeze would have handled it media-wise. Now, compliment the media corps for a moment. We're part of it. We've not gone after them. We haven't challenged them at all. I think most in the media have understood the set of circumstances that they're operating under and have provided a break, therefore. I think we've all kind of handled ourselves pretty well. No one's really asked the confrontational question, nor should they have. But Matt was asked questions about his future and stuff yesterday, and he was very careful to keep it about the kids. Mm-hmm. He's not let this become about him. It's a credit to him. And I agree with, you'll hear Ben Craddock say this in a minute, and I agree with him. I think they're going to play hard for him on Thursday night.
They're
going to
be sky high. And if they get off to a good start, that emotion turns into confidence. Emotion doesn't last. Emotion doesn't last past 5 minutes. But emotion can turn into confidence if in playing faster and in adrenaline, if you get off to a good start. And if they do that, they've got a chance to make this a game in the second half, and you see what happens. If you get off to a bad start, suddenly that emotion goes into a negative and you kind of slump your shoulders even more. So, and Matt said this, you got to be really careful. You got to be emotional and you got to be high-pitched, but you can't
take
it
too
far.
It's still a football game.
Yeah, you can't go crazy as you do that.
You have to let that fuel you, but you can't let it empty your tank in the first quarter, because then that's how you get your butt beat for a long time, mm-hmm. the rest of the night. I'll say this now. People ask, because I get this question, like, what are you going to write? Like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. If it's bad, I'm still going to write, Matt Luke did a hell of a job this year. And if Ole Miss wins, I'm not going to be the guy that does the knee jerk, oh, we'll hire him. Nope, you don't make a decision based off one game.
Yeah, one game does not decide a program in any manner whatsoever.
I don't believe this game, one way or the other, will impact that decision. I think the campaign has finally sort of stopped. It slowed down. People are coming to their senses that it's probably time. This is not a reflection on Matt at all, but it's probably time for a fresh start. This is not Matt's fault. This is Hugh Freeze's fault. This is compliance's fault. This is Dan Jones's fault. This is Lee Tyner's fault. This is the fault of the people that made a decision about how to handle this NCAA thing. This is Hugh Freeze's fault for getting nasty with the NCAA, for the stupid tweet, for all of the defensive negligence in recruiting. This is not on Matt Luke.
For all the people involved with the statement about Lindsey Miller.
For calling Lindsey Miller a wife beater. Matt Luke didn't do that. This is not on Matt Luke. But my point is, and you saw this on Saturday night, we didn't touch on it much, it's not Matt Luke's fault that the enthusiasm has left the program from a fan base standpoint for the most part. That's not on Matt. It's not Matt's fault. But you have to address it if you're Ole Miss. You have to address it. You have to take it on. You have to make sure this is a hiccup and not a trend. Because if it becomes a trend, it gets really difficult to erase, to stop something from rolling downhill.
We've talked about in the past about ADs, and this had nothing to do with York, just in general, ADs falling in love with the candidate that makes fans happy, the candidates that win press conferences, instead of maybe the candidate that best fits your program at any specific time. And I'm not saying this in terms of being more important than anything else. I mean this in any importance whatsoever because of what you just said. Is enthusiasm in winning the press conference important for this hire?
Yeah. To a degree. Yeah,
fans in general typically will get behind anyone. So there's a certain percentage of that.
Well, there's a percentage of every fan base.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah, not Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is included, that are going to – they could roll out Chase Parham as the next head coach at Ole Miss. There'd be some people say, you know what?
Got a shot.
He grew up with Rush Al's birthday cakes, and he's an Amory boy, and I kind of like him. I listen to him, and I'm for him.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy that goes, hey, man, you just got $4 million.
Can I be your coordinator?
We've been buddies a long time. You know, I helped you get here. but you know, the masses would go, wait, we did what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's boring. What are we doing? No, you need – it's not winning the press conference. It's winning the announcement where people go, oh, damn.
Yeah.
They're serious. Oh, we hired fill in the blank. Well, hell, honey, you remember something about that? We're gonna renew season tickets. I'm back instantly. And now there's some names out there that people go, really? No, they're gonna give him a chance because it's Ole Miss and they love Ole Miss.
But he's got to earn it.
But he's gonna have to earn it.
He's going to play a game in Houston next year. In this hypothetical,
yeah.
a game in Houston next year that will be, from a PR and fan base standpoint, much more important than it should be.
It is, and he's going to field a defense next year that's not his fault.
Like we keep saying that over and over and over again.
Going to field a defense next year that's not his fault. That's why there has to be enthusiasm. Truth is, you got to get back to a place where fans are hanging on every word that Russell Johnson and Yancey Porter write. You got to make it about recruiting for a little while. That 2019 class coming in, Chris Brooks and I talked about it on the Soft Verbal. It's loaded. Chris says, I think, at least 10 four-stars.
That 19 class is huge. I don't
know the numbers, 18 class. If this had to happen, it happened in a pretty good year because the 18 class isn't very good. 19 class is big. The 20 class is big. You've got to start making it about recruiting for a little while. You've got to rebuild your program. You've got to change the culture of your program.
The coach next year needs to be 4-2 headed to Arkansas.
See, I've never looked at – what's the schedule?
Opening against Tech in Houston.
Okay.
A Texas Tech team that has no defense.
Right.
Probably going to have a new coach. Yeah. Frankly, might have a coach that's on Ole Miss's board.
Neil Brown.
Yeah, I think it's Neil Brown.
Okay.
Southern Illinois.
Okay.
Alabama.
Probably not winning that one.
Kent State.
Probably are winning that one.
LSU, ULM. 4-2. No worse than 4-2.
Split the two big Louisiana schools.
Yeah. However.
See? Who says I can't spin things in a propagandistic way?
Because after that, it's hell for a little while, frankly.
At Arkansas.
Auburn at home.
Ugh.
A bye week.
Yeah,
South Carolina at home,
ugh.
At A&M,
eh.
At Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
There's a win in there.
There's a win in there.
Yeah, you need to be 4-2 because it gives you a shot at 6-6. But again, I don't.
We're a year out. When if you'd have told us some of this stuff that's happened this year, I wouldn't have believed it.
I don't know. What did we both predict? We both said 5-7.
No, I mean other teams around the conference.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to suck that you think's good, and somebody's going to be really good that you think's going to suck.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
But we both said 5-7.
Arkansas has a chance to really suck next year.
It does.
I mean, Arkansas could easily be a win right there.
Could.
Auburn could have a new coach.
Could. But it's a big Iron Bowl Saturday.
South Carolina should be pretty decent next year, I would think.
Talked to someone yesterday who said South Carolina's going to be significantly better.
A&M might suck.
They could really suck. And going through transition, too.
And Vanderbilt's going to suck.
And by that point in the season, they might be done.
Good. Ole Miss used to play Vanderbilt early, and the doors were kind of always giddy at that point of the season. You want to play Vandy late.
Yeah, for the people who say the league's out to get Ole Miss, I always go, well, they got Vanderbilt as their perennial team to play. It was kind of a break.
It's a break.
Rather be them than Florida.
I mean, Georgia used to be one of their perennial East rivals.
I didn't know. You wouldn't want that now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that –
I hate the schedule. I hate the way the SEC does the schedules.
Yeah.
I get there's no really good way to do it, but, I mean, Ole Miss only goes to Georgia once every 12 years.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Find some other way to do that. Take away the permanent. I know you can't because of all these other stupid matchups, but.
Well, I think they'll eventually get to 9 games.
Well, that would help.
That will change it.
I mean, help is a relative term there, but.
A lot to get to before they get there.
Before we get into our talk with Craddock here in a minute, basketball team losing by 9 last night to Utah.
I watched most of the second half. I actually woke up and watched. Didn't play particularly well on the glass. Didn't protect the rim particularly well.
And Utah got hot from outside.
Let the little dude get hot. He made 5 big threes in the second half. Ole Miss made a couple of runs at it. Couldn't get big stops. Missed some free throws.
And even more important than the win or the loss, they did what we talked about yesterday. They didn't get the win to make a better Wednesday.
Right. They're going to play.
They got to play Rice now.
And I saw a good bit, believe it or not, of when I was decorating the Christmas
UNLV
tree.
Rice.
I saw a good bit of UNLV Rice because in my mind I was like, okay, I'm going to stay up and watch so that I'll be awake and I can watch the Ole Miss game. And then that game was like 30 points, and I was like, eh.
Rice sucks.
Rice is awful. Just awful.
Yeah.
You like white rice or brown rice?
Brown rice.
I do too. Big fan.
I'm not a big white rice guy.
I'm not either. I love brown rice.
I mean, I like sushi, but no, otherwise, no, good.
A big brown rice fan. Like, even in, like, jambalaya and stuff like that, you have to cook it a little longer. You have to pay more attention to the liquids and stuff.
Taking out the calories, do you like fried rice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not many people don't like fried rice.
Hard not to like it. And I'm not a big egg person, but eggs and fried rice, I'm all good.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's weird. I'm not like, if you say, hey, you want some scrambled eggs? No.
I'm not an egg person.
Only way I like eggs is like I can eat an omelet, but it has to be really well cooked.
No runny, no.
No, God, no. If it run out, done.
I do love me an omelet now.
I like omelets too. What's your go-to omelet?
Real simple. I'd like some bacon, some cheese, and maybe some jalapenos or some peppers and onions. That's about it. Nothing crazy.
I like a little spinach if they have it.
You don't taste it so fine. Yeah. You throw it in there just to feel like you're eating a little healthier. That's okay.
But I like a little ham, cheese, jalapeno, just a little onion, a little Tabasco. Good stuff.
Are you a fan of the sandwich the next day after Thanksgiving that everybody does the leftover sandwiches with the turkey and the stuff?
Not really.
Really? Not your thing?
I mean, it's okay. I mean, usually turkey is dried out so bad that it's not.
See, I'm pro turkey. I'll defend turkey to the death.
Well, I mean, I like turkey too. I mean, I eat a lot of turkeys, like sliced turkey and stuff, but you got to be careful how you do the turkey. You can dry out the turkey where the next day it's just
Christmas vacation stuff going
on.
Yeah. It's already on TV. Already started.
Oh, it's the greatest movie ever.
It's already started, though. It's too early.
You serious, Clark?
It's too early.
It's a little early.
Is there a Thanksgiving movie?
Is there a Thanksgiving? I'm sure there is.
But nothing that's like in the lexicon of holiday season, I don't think.
Not anything where you like think, yeah, that's Thanksgiving. I got to watch the movie. Like Christmas, you can't get to Christmas without watching Christmas Vacation and it count.
Yeah, because most people either watch Christmas Vacation or It's a Wonderful Life, too, like Christmas Eve. That's kind of their tradition right before.
Yeah, I like Miracle on 34th Street.
11 best Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah?
This is stupid. I'm already done with it.
Okay.
The first one they gave me was Home Alone. It's a Christmas movie. It's not a Thanksgiving movie. He's literally left when they leave for Christmas. There's trees up.
Oh, you're right. That's not Thanksgiving.
Rocky.
Okay.
They have a Thanksgiving night date between Rocky. This is stupid.
Yeah, that's bad.
This is stupid.
Go ahead. I want to hear the rest of the damn films.
Well, it's like Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, it's Christmas. That's not a Thanksgiving movie. It's a Christmas movie.
Alice's Restaurant.
Whatever.
A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. Hell yeah.
Where they have the class system and they have the poor kid sitting on the side of the table by himself, everybody makes fun of.
Yeah.
This kind of made me wonder a little bit, honestly. The Big Chill is a Thanksgiving movie?
Kind of.
It's a really good movie, though. The Big Chill is an underrated movie.
It is very good.
It's not really my time period, but it's a good one. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Is that Thanksgiving? Is that
I don't know.
Yeah, on his trip to home to Chicago for Thanksgiving.
So, okay.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay, there you go.
That's kind of the Christmas Vacation version then. That's a funny movie. It's good.
Okay. Yeah, it's good.
Not a big fan.
It's okay.
Dutch. Remember Dutch?
I never saw it.
The woman's boyfriend has to go pick the son up at boarding school, and it's like their trip back home or
never saw
whatever.
That. You say Dutch, I think Ronald Reagan.
Grumpy old man on the list, or old men. I don't know.
Yeah, I never saw that movie. Never saw it.
You've Got Mail. It's apparently around Thanksgiving at some point in it.
I've seen that, but I guess so.
All right, anyway.
No, it's not very good. Who's your favorite Charlie Brown character?
I don't even know if I have one, frankly. I wasn't ever a big Charlie Brown.
Really?
Uh-uh.
So I love Charlie Brown.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Like, Snoopy's cool.
Well, I mean, everybody likes the dog.
Snoopy's, but he's not just a dog. He's a cool, smart dog.
But he's a dog.
He is. I like Woodstock, his little friend.
Yeah.
Peppermint Patty's a sneaky good character.
Why?
She's just, she knows who she is.
So who do you not like then?
Lucy, the girl who pulls the football, she's annoying as hell. I kind of like Linus. Schroeder gets on my nerves. Pigpen's nothing but just the dirty boy. Like, you wonder, like, there's got to be more to Pigpen than just that. Like, I'd like a deep dive into Pigpen. Like, who is he? Why is he so dirty? What's his home life like? What's this about?
It's a class system, Neil. I'm telling you, this entire show is some sort of American microcosm of class systems.
But why can't Pigpen take a bath once? Why is he always dirty? Is it because he's a great athlete and he's just getting in the dirt? Is it? Why are his clothes?
Who's Spike?
Oh, Spike is Snoopy's cousin.
Okay.
Always wears a cowboy hat.
And Linus and Lucy, your brother or sister?
Yes.
Okay.
Linus always has his little blanket.
Yeah, major human characters. Charlie Brown, Sally Brown.
Yeah.
Marcy, Peppermint Patty, Schroeder, Linus, and Lucy.
Marcy's very bright. Kind of gets controlled by Peppermint Patty, though.
That's true.
Peppermint Patty is... she's a very dominant figure. Takes no crap.
Okay.
Both she and Marcy sort of have a thing for Charlie.
Okay.
You can be tough to be Charlie Brown, to be bald at that age. Just a couple of little hairs.
It does not lead to later life success, like most likely.
No, like you, when Charlie Brown was all grown up, he had all sorts of issues. I mean, God only knows how messed up he was.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that he talked to a dog every day of his life.
His dog was his best friend, and yet the dog really would prefer to hang out with the little bird.
Yeah.
His dog stole the show. I mean, his dog could.
His dog was really just friends with Charlie by necessity.
Yeah, it's like, well, you own me, so I have to be.
Yeah.
I don't even really like you either. When your own dog doesn't like, because you and I have had this discussion about dogs. You can read people about dogs. A dog will tell
you. You're
strong
about this.
I am. A dog will tell you so much about people if you'll let them.
You trust a dog's instinct much more than a person's instinct, okay, don't you?
All day.
Dog growls at somebody, you go, hey.
There's something wrong with them.
They ignore your dog, yeah.
Yep.
It's interesting.
Like, you walk out every day, hey, Gus, what's up? Yeah. Speak to Rizzo. Have a relationship. Yeah. Gus trusts you. Yeah. Gus rolls over, lets you scratch his belly.
Yeah.
It's Gus saying, yeah, he's all right. It's cool. It's good.
Be better with some turkey, but
yeah. Right. Well, of course, anybody's better if you hand out turkey, but yeah, sure.
Anyway, we'll get to Ben in a second. A quick thought here: this is going to end the show with Ben again. We got 40 minutes or so with him, so we're going to let that be that. We cover a lot of topics from Egg Bowl to Thanksgiving to Tommy Tuberville to what Matt Luke may experience on Thursday night. So hang around for him. And before we get there, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. It's that time of year to plant new flower beds or trees because you allow the plants to avoid the hot, dry summer. Also, let them hook you up with some leaf removal in your yard. Don't be the eyesore in the neighborhood. They can help you out with any debris that has fallen as the temperatures are falling as well. And don't forget to get a quote when you're ready to build that fence, stone patio, deck, arbor, or other outdoor living area. You can do that with MasterCuts. They've got stuff all over town. They do great work. So get a free quote, 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com.
I updated the Neil's Picks records yesterday. We are all, as we hit late November, all way above 500. Jeffrey Wright will have, if you have just gone with Jeffrey all year, you have made money. You should send him a Christmas present. Neil's Picks are brought to you by Vitamin. They'll be up on Thursday morning. Vitamin's 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. It's the same IVs and shots as before, but there's so much more there now. The cryo sauna, the infrared sauna, smoothie bar. It's It's all there, 662-638-3600, info@vitamend.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at your property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give them a call, go to Google and hit Romero Miller State Farm on your search engine. Pull up those reviews, and that'll do it. It'll convince you. If you're in Mississippi or Tennessee, you have insurance needs, go to Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And finally, we're brought to you by the Oxford Park Commission. Soccer registration is ongoing for kids 5 to 16. It's $30 to join your team from the fall, $55 for a new player. It's oxfordparkcommission.com. The games begin in February. They go through early April. The games are played out at beautiful FNC Park. Those fields are fantastic. It's a great experience. My kids have done it. If your kids are that age, you will love the OPC soccer program. Again, oxfordparkcommission.com.
Now, Ben Craddock here on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. We'll talk to you sometime Thursday night, Friday morning. Take care. Good morning, Benjamin. Good day to you. Thanksgiving week. I know your kids are out of school. It's that great time of the year where the family's all together, right?
Yeah, it's thank you to the school systems in Mississippi because they get out for like a whole week and a half. So, you know, most parents are trying to figure out what to do with their children when they have nothing to do, which is awesome. Thanksgiving or Christmas.
You know what's frustrating to me is that Carson for 2 weeks has been saying, "Dad, I'm really ready for a break. I'm really ready for the break. How many days till the break? How many days till the break?" Then the break starts, and he spends pretty much the entire time playing on the PS4. And then yesterday, which was Monday, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, what do you want to do? You want to go do something? I don't know. There's nothing to do. Well, we go to a movie. There's nothing I want to see. We go bowl? Eh. What do you want to do? And he goes, "I hope that new mayor puts some stuff in that makes this place fun." I'm like what? And he's like, And I'm like, what are you complain? You waited for basically a month to get out to do this, and now you don't want to do anything. What is the deal?
Yeah.
And so yesterday's like, I don't know that I want to go to soccer practice. I'm like, no, you're going to soccer practice.
It's like they turn to a whole different, like, little person. Like my I got probably six little girls at the house, and of course my youngest, Cora, she comes in, she's got her friend over here. Yes, last night she looks at me, she's like, "I'm bored." I'm like, "How are you bored? You have a friend over." She goes, "Well, they're leaving me out, you know, they don't want to play what I want to play, so I'm bored. I mean, what can we do? Let's go do something." I'm thinking, it's 8:30, I'm about to go to bed. I mean, but yeah, that's just, I don't know, you know, it's a whole different deal when they're out and have nothing. They say they have nothing to do, but we would like Chase, though, you know, with his little sweet angel at the house.
Yeah,
she sits there and she's like little.
She just screams so now. We're at that age where she can't actually do anything herself, but she feels like she can do everything herself. So if you try to steer her in any direction other than the one she wants to go in, she just screams. It's this high pitched scream that embarrasses the hell out of me right now. So.
Well, what about yesterday? The other day we were talking Chase's. We were on the phone yelling, going over something. We were talking about something, the show, or I I can't really remember, but I kept hearing this banging noise in the background. I was like, Chase, what is that? He goes, oh, it's my girl. She's got a spoon with a pot, and she's hitting
Just banging the crap out of a pot with a spoon. It was occupying her for that 15 seconds, so it was good. So a couple different topics. Thanksgiving coming up Thursday. We've talked a little about Thanksgiving, different side items, whether it's an overrated holiday or not. Are you a turkey guy, or are you not?
I'm a food guy.
Okay.
You put it in front of me, I'm going to eat it. I mean, I love Thanksgiving because it's like my dad and I, that's our favorite holiday because
really,
you don't have to buy any presents for anybody. You just eat.
So is Thanksgiving a holiday or a meal?
That's a good one. I'd say meal.
Ooh, I agree completely. It's a meal.
Yeah. It's a meal.
It's all built around this meal, and that's okay. People get offended when you say that, like, no, it's a holiday. It's not really.
Isn't a holiday defined by, well, never mind.
Exactly.
What's the difference, though?
I mean, like Christmas, there's more to it than just the meal. Like, some people go to, like, the Christmas Eve service.
Santa Claus
comes. For most people, it is a religious holiday. It's a spiritual thing. And it's a meal. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Please tell me, unless you like living in New York and you go to the parade, then it's a holiday. You go to the parade, and then you have a meal. People say, well, there's football. Yeah, but there's football. There's probably some action tonight somewhere. I mean, the fact that there is football on a Thursday is not unique because there's football on every Thursday. It's a meal, a specific meal.
It is. Bunch of fried turkey and vegetables and, you know, family time, which we did that a lot. So, actually, yeah, you're right. It's just a meal. It's just a lot more of a meal than what I'm used to.
You fry your turkey?
Yeah. Look, my mom is so old school down in Macomb, and my dad, she'll have probably 7 different types of turkeys. She'll smoke. She'll have baked. Because a lot of friends down there, they give turkeys for gifts. Well, here we go as a gift. For them, it's more of a, it's not just a meal for my family down there. My favorite's the fried turkey because anything fried is good.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving side item?
Oh, boy. Probably my mom's baked beans.
Really? Baked beans?
Yeah. Baked beans. That's a new one.
Well, they're Italian green beans, and she actually soaks them, bacon. She puts olive oil, she onions. I don't know. It reminds me of my grandmother back in North Carolina. They're very – it's just that one thing that I really enjoy. Everything well, but it's just the green beans.
Chase and I did the exact same thing. When you said baked beans, we thought you meant like barbecued baked beans that you have with
I'm sorry. Did I say baked beans? I mean green beans. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
Green beans. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, baked beans are terrible.
We do the green beans that you put them in a bundle and you wrap the bacon around them and you broil them. And then when you take them out, you melt some butter and tarragon and vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
And you pour that on top. It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite things.
I agree. And then all of a sudden, your left side starts kind of went numb after you eat about 10 of them. You know?
No, it's green beans, man. They're healthy. Come on.
Yeah, they are. They are.
It's a vegetable.
They actually really are good.
It's a vegetable. It's healthy for you.
We called you, Ben, this morning to talk a little Egg Bowl. What years did you play? I know I should have looked that up, and I forgot, so sorry.
Well, Archie was a junior when I came in, so it was a very long time ago. I came in 96.
That's right. That's right.
Got through 2000.
That's right. You came in with Roe.
I did.
Yeah, that's right. So 20 years ago, I know Antonio's been working on some different stuff. What do you remember about the pregame from 97?
I actually remember, I'll tell you this quick story of how that all, from my perspective, how everything happened. I remember it was a Monday, and Joe Panunzio, who was our special teams coach, who's now at Alabama, the special teams coach, walks up to me, you know, it's freezing that week. You know, I'm thinking about going back. I'm ready to go back home, you know. And Joe walks up to me and says, hey, you know, we're going to travel you this week. you know, and back then when you weren't playing and redshirt freshman, you weren't playing, when you traveled, that was a big deal because they did not take the whole team, as you know, especially SEC conference games. So I was like, you know, why am I traveling? He said, well, there's going to be a fight at that game. And I know that you've been in a couple of altercations up here, as you know, and he goes, I know you throw your hands on somebody. So I'm going to travel you. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a joke. And he was dead serious and walks away. And so I believe the game was on a Thursday. So that Wednesday, I have a note in my locker saying, you know, make sure you pack all your stuff and your bag, your travel bag. I'm thinking, wow, I really am traveling, which I thought he was kidding with me. So anyway, we get to the game, everybody's getting dressed or whatever. We go on the field, and, you know, kickers always go out, and special teams guys go out first, and which is not unusual. And but it was a different vibe. Like, you could tell there was just a lot of it was a different energy in the stadium for that. For some reason, you can sense energy just like y'all can at a game. You know, you can either feel it or you don't feel it. And there was a different vibe, and they were real chirpy, which was not unusual for Cheryl's teams to be chirpy.
So what were they? What were they saying? Do you remember anything specifically? I mean, were they just kind of just typical trash talk, or?
We were basically getting cussed out as we were walking down the little. You know, they used to have like kind of the horseshoe where you would walk down.
Yeah.
And so we'd have, I mean, there was people that were standing on that railing that were just, you know, I assume they worked for Mississippi State, were just, you know, yelling at us, saying things.
Classic.
Y'all suck, you know, just very, you know, a lot of hatred. And so, you know, we kind of brushed it off, you know, and I probably said some things back, you know what I mean? You know, y'all know I can't hold my tongue. And so we get down the field, and, I mean, it's the whole time, you could just hear just, the cussing just coming at us, and you know, we were kind of giggling, you know, and then everybody else came out for the receivers. You know, everybody forgets all our big guys, O linemen, linebackers, D line, they're all still up in the field house.
Yeah, State brought their whole team out when you guys brought just your specialist.
They did. They stretched their whole team. We did not. And so anyway, it got real chirping, and I remember the State's DBs, you know, our receivers, when they stretched, would get a circle, and somebody'd be in the middle, and they would stretch, you know, before pregame. And I remember State's DBs were basically in the middle of our circle, just going off, you know, yelling, pointing fingers, which I thought was odd. Like, you just don't do that. You don't cross the 50 on either side when you're getting ready to play a football game.
So
well, they were.
Let me time out. Where were the officials? Because usually they're kind of out there. There's somebody out there sort of keeping the two sides apart a little bit.
See, I never remember. It's a different feel now, Neil. Like, you would never see that happen now. Because I think they do such a good job of making sure both sides stay on their side of the 50.
Yeah.
You know, but for some reason, and I remember, they were allowed to come on our side of the field, and I mean, it was, and so I remember throwing A.J. Cammy, Bobby Killian, who was our long snapper, and Randall Green, who was our starting punter, and so I was like, man, let's go over there, there's something about to, you know, go down, so we walked over there, and all of a sudden, States, basically their whole team kind of comes towards us. And all I remember, and it happened really fast, was we were all kind of circled up, jawing back and forth. And I remember, this like it was yesterday, Greg Savers, I think that's his name, the linebacker at Mississippi State, you know, all SEC guy.
Yeah.
I saw him, and I'm very aware of my surroundings, just the way I was brought up. Like, I'm always thinking, you know, I'm aware. And I see this guy coming around. It was Greg. He was coming around the backside of where we were, and all of a sudden he takes off running and hits John Avery square in the back, and Avery does a flip. I mean, it was a completely cheap shot. Hits Avery in the back. Avery does a flip. And next thing I know, everybody's swinging on everybody. And it just broke out from there. You know, it's kind of every man for himself.
So I'm backtracking a little, knowing at that moment, You had to be thinking, how did Panunzio know on Monday this was going to happen? How was there such a feeling all week that there was going to be a fight?
And see, I don't know. Like I have no clue. Because, you know, the coaches wouldn't – there's no way the coaches would have pushed something like that. But – and, you know, this Neil and Chase, you know, all those coaches, they're all friends. You know, they can say what they want to say, but, I mean, they're – you know, there might be some bad blood between Coach A and Coach B. But there was something – it was just odd. I mean, why would you travel a backup punter who was not going to play to a game? I mean, especially that game. And the way it happened, it was just very, it was odd. I mean, I've never been a part of anything like that in my life.
So did you throw hands during this altercation?
Neil, I was throwing hands, and if you watched the tape, which was funny, I was talking to Antonio the other day. He was working on the story, and he said I looked like a mosquito because I was all over the screen. You know, because my main thing was if somebody grabs me, I'm not going to be able to go. I mean, these are big guys, right? And so I was only about 190 pounds. So I was buckled up and everything. But because a couple of our guys actually got drugged to the upstate side. And, I mean, they were kicking the crap out of some of my friends. But we were so outnumbered, you had to be very careful because, I mean, helmets were being thrown at heads. Somebody really could have gotten hurt. I'm surprised somebody didn't besides one particular recruit that was on the field that ran toward the wrong person. Yeah. But so it was it was fun at the moment. I know it was fun because, you know, fighting gets your blood going. But at the same time, when you look back on it, somebody really could have gotten hurt. Like Mississippi State should have done they should have done a better job. That should never happen.
Take a moment in our talk with Ben. Today, the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. You'll get in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. And all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704. Or JLo, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades, and no one knows the residential or condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast is also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Fantastic service, maintenance, everything after the sale. They do a terrific job. You will be nothing but pleased with your entire experience at Grenada Nissan. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at rebelgrove.com. You'll get rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Now back to the Oxford Exxon podcast and our interview with one Ben Craddock.
You know, you mentioned that, and it's talked about a good bit in Antonio's story. I was kind of skimming it while you were talking a second ago. In today's college football, there's no way Deuce wouldn't have been thrown out of that game. There's no way.
I agree.
You know,
go ahead.
Well, I'm saying that, you know, and the other guy's coming at him too. It's not really his fault, but a player hitting a recruit before the game, there's no way he's not tossed.
He was defending himself.
Yeah. Do you disagree?
Well, there's two things. There's two things to that right there. That recruit, and this is another thing. I'm sitting on the 10-yard line. I think it was around the 10-yard line. you know, I don't know if I can say his name. I'm sure I can. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's in the story. Shivers.
Wes is coming straight at him. Wes is a great guy, by the way. I mean, this is 20 years ago. Well, Wes is a recruit because I remember this big 6'6", you know, 290-pound beast of a man is running straight towards me, like angry. And I'm sitting there going, uh-oh. Like, it's about to go down with this kid. Because, I mean, he has a windbreaker on, Mississippi State windbreaker, Hines. He played for Hines at the time. Coming straight at me, like, ready to just tear me apart. And all I remember from that right there is Bo Bennett, who played from Corinth, and Deuce. Deuce slides right in front of me. He's like slow motion, slides right in front of me and just whoop, clocks him. And next thing I know, blood just went everywhere. And I was like, huh, welcome to Starkville. Like, that's, you know, Hell State. There we go.
So you guys head back up into the field house after the fight, right?
We do. The Mississippi Highway Patrol, they had to come out there to basically break it up. And so they divided both, I mean, got everybody separated. I mean, there were guys like Adam Bettis. I can't remember if Corey Peterson was involved, but I mean, I know he's involved. But I mean, and Corey, you know, Corey got toe to toe with somebody too. Corey's a tough guy. I mean, there were jerseys ripped on our side. I mean, like Ken Crane could not find half the helmets because, you know, we were throwing helmets and pieces of, you know, the little earpiece on the helmets. Ken was about to have a heart attack because he could not find all the gear for the equipment. So yeah, they all got us back inside and settled everything down, and we went back out and tried to resume getting ready for the game. But you know, that whole, it was actually, I remember we got back because we actually, you know, we beat them, of course, to go to a bowl, which was in Detroit. Went 6-5, I believe. Well, that week, that Monday week, there was probably 42 guys that got a letter from the NCAA saying that we were ineligible for fighting, and I was one of them too. So, and I still have the letter. I'm trying to find the letter. Actually, I was going to send it. And yeah. So we were ineligible. So I assume State had X amount of players also. So we didn't know if we were going to be able to play in the bowl or not. So, but they actually waived that whole deal. so because Mississippi State actually started the fight.
So you guys got up to – I'm watching the video of it now. You guys got back up into the locker room. The linemen were probably like, what the hell happened, right?
Well, they wouldn't let the linemen – if you I don't know if they panned to it, but the linemen were trying to get down there to us.
Yeah.
I mean, you picture this. You got your little guys like us down there, you know. Let's be honest. These linemen, you know, our linemen back then were huge, and they were tough. And so we're sitting down there trying to defend ourselves and getting jumped, you know, et cetera. And our big guys, our toughest guys, are up. They would not allow them to come down there and help. Like they actually had them blocked off, because our guys were trying, like Todd, they're all trying to get down there, Todd away, all of them, and they would not allow them to get down there to help us.
So when that game gets going, what's the vibe? I mean, it had to be a totally different deal than anything you'd ever experienced.
You know, it was, but Tuberville, you know, he did such a great job, as always, as far as helping us keep our composure. He, you know, I can't remember exactly what all he said after that happened, but I know that he always, you know, you follow your leader, and he always was calm, you know, and he turned that, you know, the adrenaline rushing, the hatred, all that, et cetera, he turned that into a positive and made us calm. I mean, think about all that happened. And we still went out there and just executed up until the final play. You know, that's one thing he could do well, was he was pull a team together and keep us from not being so distracted from what's going on, you know, before the game or, you know, during the game. He was a very good, and his assistants were phenomenal also.
When you see some of the State guys that you played against in that deal 20 years later, does it come up? Do you guys laugh about it now? I mean,
it's one of my best friends from Macomb that I went to school with, Robert Isaac. He was the tailback from Mississippi State. And, you know, Robert, and that was my whole thing. I was trying to find Robert so I could you know, we could leave. I mean, you know, I mean, because every, I mean, it was mayhem going on, and I was making sure nobody was hurting Robert. You know, I didn't care if he had a state uniform on. That was one of my, you know, best buddies growing up. And so we had a actually alumni game, Macomb South Pike alumni game, probably, I don't know, 6 months ago. And we actually talked about that game. He actually brought it up, and he said, man, can you believe that actually happened? And I was like, I still cannot to this day. You just don't see that a lot. I mean, you see Miami doing it versus Florida State or somebody, you know. But Ole Miss State, it was just kind of a it was a different level of hatred, because all those guys were up together. I mean, you know, we might wear a different uniform, but we're still friends. You know, and I know y'all. I don't want to hurt a friend at all. So, but yeah, we talked about it, and it was we laugh about it. He'll tell me some different stories on what happened from his view, and I'll tell him mine, and we just kind of giggle about it. Kind of, we both can't believe it actually happened.
That game or 2000, what's kind of the better memory looking back? I mean, 2000, they get out to the big lead. That's the game where Deuce throws it back to Rowe, and you know, ended up winning by a couple touchdowns, but it was definitely in doubt there in the first half.
You know, that was my last Egg Bowl, and just to see, you know, Romero and Deuce, they were phenomenal teammates. To go out the way they did was kind of what you wanted from a great teammate. You want to, you know, you want to see them beat your Mississippi State. You know, up to that point, we've had the mistake at Ole Miss games. There were some battles, as y'all remember. One of my, I guess, oddest memories was when Romero, we were playing Georgia, and y'all remember this, like the last play of the game, this guy late hits Romero, and he basically messes his shoulder up.
Yeah.
So they have to start David Morris for the Egg Bowl. And David's awesome. You know, David's a heck of an athlete, going on to do successful things at quarterback country, but QB country. And but that right there, and I think State beat – I know they beat us in that game, but that game was such a unique game for a lot of reasons, because that's when Tuberville left. You know, if y'all remember that, you know, that whole we lost that game. We knew there was some stuff going on with Tuberville during the Egg Bowl week.
You should have called me, Ben. I would have told you all about it. I would have filled you in.
You know, I wish I'd have known you back then, because it was – but, you know, we could sense something.
Yeah.
A lot of – you know, you could – there were some people, I guess, what do you call them? Oh, I know they're boosters. But there were some guys that I've always heard about, never seen, because they don't come around, you know. But there was one particular guy who came out, and they went off to the side during – I think it was like on a Tuesday – and stayed there for an hour and a half and talked. And you knew something – this guy didn't just show up. So shows up, they talk. And everybody's like, wow, he's actually going to leave. Like, this individual, this booster comes out, but I've never seen him, comes out and pulls Tubbs to the side, and they talk for an hour and a half. You could sense something was happening. We kept hearing Auburn. And then after that whole game, which was an odd game, State won. They won the West, I think, that year. They beat us. When we got back in the locker room, a lot of the position coaches were going around the locker room thanking everybody. So for me, I'm thinking, why are you thanking me? We just lost. You know, and then Pananzio walks up to me, and we've always been great. He's like, look, man, it's been a privilege coaching you. You know, love you. You know, we're going to stay in touch. You know, just keep, you know, keep working hard. You know, I'll be in touch with you. And I'm thinking, huh? You know, I still had really no clue what was going on. You know, and then the next morning, you know, Tubbs gone. You know, never talked to him. I mean, I have after all that happened, but, you know, us players never got a sit-down meeting with him saying, hey, we're leaving. I'm leaving. You know, thank you for all you've done, et cetera, et cetera. It was a true business decision.
I was at that game. I was covering Auburn for the I guess that was the – was I in Birmingham still, or was I in Mobile? One or the other. I guess it was the Birmingham Post-Herald. I was at that game as the Auburn beat writer. I remember walking in and some of the people were like, why are you here? And I'm like, why do you think I'm here?
Yeah.
It was there was a denial kind of in Oxford that was, frankly, as a guy who broke that story, I was so scared of all the denial that I was like, what if I'm wrong? If I'm wrong, I'm not even, there's no reason to even go back. I'm done. And I knew I wasn't wrong, but I was still so nervous that was like the longest week of my career. It was forever. That week went on and on and on and on. Even though I knew I was right, Tuberville did the little denial thing and all that stuff. And it just, that night was weird. And then after the game, he was asked about it and he really didn't say anything. But I knew then we were all good from a journalism standpoint.
Because that was one of the big stories. You actually, I remember you saying that that's the biggest one, I mean, that you kind of broke, that took you, you were really nervous it could make you break even away.
Absolutely. Well, it was weird because, you know, I was at the Birmingham Post-Herald. It was my first year on the Auburn beat. And Terry Bowden had quit middle of the year. And Bill Oliver was the interim coach. And there's this coaching search that goes 6 weeks. And there's no internet back then, really, you know? And,
yeah,
I mean, there was, but there wasn't. And it goes on and on and on and on. And I'm writing – it was early November I wrote about Tuberville. So it was 3-4 weeks before Tuberville got the job that I wrote that Tuberville was Auburn's leading candidate, that they were going to offer him a job. He was expected to take it. And on the Tuesday, the day you just referenced, Auburn played a basketball game at Beard Eves at home against Brigham Young. And I had to drive from Birmingham to Auburn. And the whole time, I'm on the phone with people. One of those big flip phones was leather, and you had it up to your ear, and it would get super hot. And anyway,
those were the best.
Yeah, those were the best. And I'm talking to people all over, like, and I'm a kid, and the Birmingham News and the Huntsville Times are working on this story about George O'Leary, who was at that time the Georgia Tech coach, and they said George O'Leary is going to be the next coach at Auburn, and he's got this offer. He's Auburn's leading contender, and I'm calling my sources, who are like, "There's nothing to that. They're just getting O'Leary some money." And I'm freaked out, like, what if they're right and I'm wrong? Because these are guys that I really look up to, and I'm thinking, I'm getting my ass beat on this story. I am getting played, and I'm talking to people back in Oxford who are saying, yeah, Tuberville was, like, at the Lyceum, and he met with Kayad all night, and they're going to work it out. And I can remember being at the basketball game, didn't watch one dribble. I'm not even sure I wrote about it because I'm so nervous because my boss had said, hey, you need to break this story. And what I heard when he said, you need to break this story was, you need to break this story or else you're off the beat. That's what I heard. I mean, in my mind, that's what I heard. And so I'm just obsessed with it. And I called my primary source and I said, here's what I have. Here's what all these people are saying. I'm a little worried. And he said, what do you think? And I said, well, I still think Tuberville's taking the job. And he goes, well, you're right. It's done. And so I stuck with it thinking, well, I'm this far down the road. It's too late now. So anyway, it was just that was a crazy week. I remember that week well. What I remember most about that week, and Tuberville, he'll deny it, was you guys were – it was before that. You guys were getting ready to play Georgia. It was the week of the Iron Bowl. They played that year they played the Iron Bowl the same Saturday that you guys played Georgia in Athens. And it was that Thursday night, and this is back in the days of tabs, and you're having to write 4,000 stories on the Iron Bowl from Auburn's perspective and all this stuff. And so I just wrote all week. I never left Auburn. And Tuberville on that Thursday night finally says to me, he goes, so how do you think I'll do?
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Now you just got me mad. So you knew that 2 weeks prior to the Egg Bowl?
Exactly a week before.
Exactly 1 week before. He said, so how do you think I'll do?
We'll take one more quick pause to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, tysondrugs.com. where you can go get your Sildenafil. It is the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. Get you ready in as little as 15 minutes and have the same length of effectiveness as the other guys. When you give them a call at 662-252-2321, you give them your doctor's name, they'll get the prescription ready and even deliver it to you if you are not local. So again, at 662-252-2321, TysonDrugs.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com. Or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Now back to our interview with Ben Craddock on the Oxford Exxon podcast. And then all that stuff happened after that, and I'm thinking maybe I'm just getting played.
Wow.
I'm in the minority, though. I think, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it in light of the Jumbotron thing the other night. I know he left the wrong way. It's very hard to leave the right way. I thought Tuberville did more for Ole Miss in, was it 4 years?
Yeah.
I thought Tuberville did more for Ole Miss in 4 years than a lot of people do in 20.
I completely agree 100%. Like, that guy, like, I will never talk bad about Tuberville. And the reason why is because, like, I was committed to Louisiana Tech for 4 months up till a week before signing day. And I was going to go to Ruston. I mean, I loved it down there. It worked. I had Gary Croton was the coach at Louisiana Tech. You know, and Tech always has great kickers and punters. I mean, they always produce. And so he actually came down to my high school. It was there at 7 a.m. right a week before sign day, and basically just sold me. You know, I didn't grow up an Ole Miss fan. That's what a lot of people think. You know, we grew up Ole Miss fans. My dad, they're from North Carolina. My dad played ball in Carolina. My mom went to NC State. We had no ties to the state of Mississippi. I mean, Ole Miss State. I mean, I grew up going to Ron Polk baseball camps. You know, Pete Young, who was an All-American at Mississippi State. You know, the pitcher. If y'all remember Pete Young, if you remember baseball. He was my babysitter growing up. So, I mean, you know, I had a lot of State ties versus Ole Miss ties. And so really didn't know a lot about Ole Miss. I mean, I liked them. You know, I liked everybody. Ole Miss, USM, State. And, but he came and sold me on his program and what he was trying to do. And he looked at me and said, I'm going to bring in every Mississippi kid I can bring in and build this thing the way it should be built. Mississippi, you know, this is going to be Mississippi players at Ole Miss. We're going to take tweeners like me. I was a tweener. But he took a lot of guys that helped. In my opinion, I look at it today, at the guys that he brought in, and he brought in more talent, in my opinion, college talent and who guys who played in the NFL for 12 years plus. You know, those he did more with the program than people actually fully understand and what he accomplished. Like our 98 team, which was Cutcliffe's first year. To me, that was the most talented team we've had in years. I mean, I'll put it against, you know, Freeze's, I guess it was his third year with Robert and those guys. Yeah, they were talented. But if you look at our team in 98, I'll put our team up against their team any day. We had more NFL talent on that team than Freeze did on his, I guess it was his third year. by far.
I thought he recruited at a different level. I thought he attacked it with a ferociousness, frankly, that, frankly, whoever comes in the next week or two probably needs to go back and steal a page, because he's going to have to attack it with a very similar passion. He attacked the fact that the stadium needed to be updated. They needed to expand it. They needed to get moving ahead at a time when they weren't filling the stadium up. He said, you need to expand it. People said, that's crazy. But he was right. He attacked the flag. He did. He attacked it. He is the one that put pressure on Robert Kiat to begin that process. Nobody else would ever attack that because it was controversial. Tuberville said, it's killing us in recruiting. We've got to get rid of it. I thought he did a lot of great things. And frankly, I think Tommy would have stayed at Ole Miss had he been supported a little bit differently. I know this from talking to him back then. Leaving was a little more painful than people think it was. He had built that. That was quickly becoming his program. And he had gone out and won some recruiting battles that most people didn't think they could win. I've said this many times. Chase will vouch for it. The jersey that Ole Miss doesn't retire, they never talk about retiring it. The jersey that Ole Miss should retire is number 11.
I agree.
Romero Miller had he could have gone to Alabama. He could have gone to Tennessee. He could have gone to a lot of places. He was a parade All-American from Shannon back when being a parade All-American was a big deal. You remember that, Ben. I mean, it was a big deal to be a parade All-American. He could have gone anywhere. Alabama wanted him badly. And for Ole Miss at that point in its history to get an African-American kid from Shannon with multiple offers all over the place to come to Ole Miss – was a monumental get. It was just huge. It was a game changer. And then Romero had a hell of a career too.
Romero, good thing about Romero is he was just a great person, like a phenomenal teammate. Just, you know, Romero's just, he's one of my favorite people as far as favorite teammates. And even today, one of my, you know, just love talking to him because he's just, I don't know. You know, yeah, I mean, I know y'all talk to Romero and everything, but he's just, I like because he tells you what's on his mind. You know, he's got a huge heart. But I remember, and I hope Romero doesn't kill me for saying this. I'm gonna watch what I say with this thing. But I remember we were sitting on the couch in the locker room. It was Romero, Terrence, Metcalf, and Romero. And so we're sitting there, and they're talking. It was like Bama week, you know, and they're talking, and. And Terrence goes, man, you ever think about if we went to, you know, Alabama, what it would be like? You know, I mean, you know, they're rolling, you know. And Romero with this little grin looked at him, he's like, hell no. You know, because he's so funny. He's like, man, I hate Bama. He's like, I'm happy here. And Terrence is giggling, you know. And he's like, I know that, but I'm just saying, you ever think about what it might be like if you're another school? Just locker room talk, right? And just hearing those two talk about, you know, recruiting and how difficult it truly was, because, you know, Terrence was very close to going to Bama also. I think it was Bama and Georgia. I can't remember the two schools. But those two talking about, you know, their recruiting, I mean, they were such at a high level. You know, Terrence was, you know, this top kid also. But the talent that was surrounded by Romero, what he helped bring in to me was, you know, Kedrick Vincent. I don't know if y'all remember Kedrick. I mean, phenomenal talent. You know, played in the league for years. You had Terrence Metcalf, Todd Way. I mean, you had so much talent. Tuton Reeves. I mean, all those guys played in the NFL. All of them. I mean, and so, but as far as the teammate Romero, I love my quarterback. Like, I still call him my quarterback one today. Like, I'm always like, hey, QB one, because he was such a upbeat person, never got down, always positive. And he would say the quirkiest things I remember standing on the sideline. Our last game we played in was West Virginia in the Music City Bowl. And Eli goes out there and starts lighting it up. I mean, lighting it up. And Romero turns to me, and it's freezing the game. Romero turns to me and goes, damn, he's pretty good, isn't he? You know? But, you know, which that's Romero. He said, he would say quirky things, but he's like, and then he looked at me again. He goes, I'm glad I'm getting out of here. You know, because to me it was acknowledging, the torch is being passed. We're going to be okay. this kid's going to be really good. You know, but just, you know, for him to sit there, I'm thinking, man, this guy's awesome. You're just sitting going, he just kind of leaned to me like, he's pretty good, isn't he? What you think? I'm like, yeah, he's lighting it up. I think we might win this thing, you know? But, you know, that's what I miss about all of it was just the friendships. If you played any, if it's high school ball or JUCO or college, it's just being in the locker room with the guys and the things you talk about, you know, the stories. And to me, it's the connection. And I remember, you know, when, and I'm kind of getting on a rant, but this is, to me, our friendship goes really deep because I'm a very, very loyal person. Always been like that. But when my wife, well, at the time, my girlfriend, DG's put her up for homecoming queen in 98. And my wife didn't want to, if y'all know, you know, Hillary, she's very shy. She's not like anything like that, but they put her up. And so she came to me and she goes, look, can you maybe get a couple, you know, one or two football players to kind of vote for me and wear my pin, you know, just whatever you can do. It'd be nice, you know. Well, I was telling Deuce about it, and Deuce and Hillary actually grew up in Scott County together, you know, Forest and Morton. And Deuce said, man, I'll do more than that. You tell me what I need to do. It's done. So I tell Hillary, she's like, well, he can help me with my campaign. Well, Deuce and Romero were basically campaign managers for my wife, you know, which was awesome. So we show up, you know, at the DG house, all these girls, me, Deuce, and Romero. And so, you know, and just the kindness. I mean, these guys were all star, you know, phenomenal, but they were still just a friend and my teammate. But the kindness they showed her and just the things we, you know, we went through, the bond we have, you just, it's hard to replace that. Even 20 years now later, I mean, you know, I'll see him and it's just like we you go back 20 years to a locker room, we sit there and talk like we did, you know, 20 years ago. It's just a special time in our lives.
What do you, this game Thursday obviously is a weird game. Mississippi State's going for 9-3. They're not playing for a title, though. That they've been eliminated from the West. Ole Miss isn't going bowling. We knew that back in February. It's almost certainly Matt Luke's last game as the head coach. There's the action's going to happen, frankly, after this game. Can you put yourself in the shoes of the Ole Miss players? What do you think Thursday night will be like for them?
It'll be emotional. And not so much about the Egg Bowl, because of Matt. You know, watching those kids play for Matt, like they truly love Matt Luke. And I'm with you with Matt. I mean, Matt's, you know, he's done a phenomenal job keeping this program together. With every card that's been dealt to Matt, he's handled it. I think he's done phenomenal on that side of things. And the talent, you know, as y'all know, on the defense side, it is what it is. But those kids are playing their hearts out, and it's because of Matt Luke, and you know those other coaches. They want to win this Egg Bowl for Matt. I go and tell you, Matt will have those kids ready. Matt knows the importance of the Egg Bowl, but most importantly, it's the kids. You know, Matt wants those kids to, you know, to win for sure, but just to be successful. So it will be emotional, but I don't know, not so much for that. I mean, yeah, they want to beat State, but it's not, to me, this game's not about Mississippi State. This game's about Matt Luke, you know, about, you know, winning this thing for Matt. And I guarantee the players will probably say the same thing. I mean, it's a family, just like every, you know, college football team, their family. But with everything those kids have been through, and the one person that's, has stayed true as Matt Luke. You know, Matt has not changed in 20 years. When we played together, Matt is an aggressive, intense human being. He's always been like that. And I see the same, you know, fire in his eyes that I saw 20 years ago when we played. You know, Matt, after a game, you never went to Matt Luke and said, you know, would say good game or, you know, what do you think about that? Matt sat there in his pads and sat there and just would have his head, you know, just with that stare. And he was always the last person to leave because he would play with everything he had that he basically could not even move, you know. So they'll be ready. They'll be ready. And it should be a fun game. You know, I know State has, you know, more talent, but I've seen some egg bowls where, you know, I thought we would win and State would, you know, hammer us or vice versa, you know. So anything can happen. Anything can happen. So it should be a fun game to watch. And you know, I'd love to see us win. And it's because of Matt, not because of Mississippi State, because of Matt Luke.
Well, Ben, appreciate the time. Could be a little longer than we probably told you we were going to, but good luck with your kids, getting them all situated during this Thanksgiving week, and I'm sure you'll be really happy when Monday rolls around again.
Well, I'm going to drop them. I'm going to bring them up, and Neil, he already texted me earlier and said I could drop them off. And
yeah, bring them on.
And I mean, why not? You know, you got three in the household. And,
yeah,
you
know, two dogs.
Yeah.
Laura would love that, you know, bring all my girls
she
up
would.
There.
She would. Tell her, hey, bring rakes when you come. Bring rakes.
Rakes, I don't. Well, I don't even know if I got a rake.
I'll go buy a couple. We'll buy some rakes, some bags. Tell them to bring. Yeah. Just tell them we'll just do a little work. We'll scrub some baseboards, that kind of thing.
Hey, and before I go, I was going to tell y'all thank y'all for all y'all did for us. Seriously, that's you know, we're honored to be a part of y'all's, you know, the show, and for almost 5 years now, and it's been a great relationship, and our business has grown because of y'all. I just want, you know, tell y'all thank y'all for everything y'all do for us.
Well, thank you. Our business has grown a little as well, so I'm glad it's worked out for all of us, because we always say this,
right?
Is the truth. If it's not for you sort of saying, hey, have you guys sort of thought about trying to take this thing to the next level? We probably don't, because I'm not sure either one of us really thought we were doing anything all that special. So, yeah. You are a massive part of what made this happen.
Well, y'all know this. Y'all love y'all to death, and y'all are very talented. But it's our friendship, man, that I value, and the listeners, which are phenomenal. We got some loyal guys and ladies. I think was it 5% nailed. You said
it's going up to about 5. Yeah, it was at 4. We're inching up with the groupies and different things, so it's going up a little bit.
It's a passionate 5%. I mean, they are the most obsessive 5%. I mean, they want to know, like, you know, what's Neil wearing today? You know,
just is he wearing his beanie?
Yeah, just stuff. You know, it's a lot of it is just my looks. It's just my raw sex appeal that's created the growth from 4 to 5%.
Hey, I get that.
You understand?
Rugged,
you know what it's like.
Man.
You see me walk out on the field, and you're like, that is. I mean, and you mean it. I'm absolutely in the most heterosexual way possible. That is one sexy man. A lot of people say that. I feel it lately. You know, you talk about feeling a vibe when you walk out on the field. When I walk out down to the field with like 5-6 minutes left, I feel a vibe. I walk out and there's a different. The vibe changes. And last week it was because Chase walked out. They said, "Look at that sweater."
You've been all over me over the sweater in the last week.
They said, "Look at that sweater."
Yeah,
Ben noticed the sweater. It was a good look.
I did.
I'm complimentary.
I was more worried about my three kids who hustled Keith Carter to get down the field, which I was a little bit uneasy about. But, yeah, we were sitting there, and I looked, and I was like, holy moly, that's awesome.
Like, yeah, it was a good-looking sweater.
I could pull that off. Yeah.
I couldn't do that. No. You have to have a certain hairstyle, I think, to wear that sweater. And he pulled it off. It's a phenomenal look. Had the jeans, the shirt, the tie, and the tie was just slightly askew, and then he had the sweater going. It was a good look.
Yeah. The hair was always perfect. Chase
it is.
Always got the perfect hair.
Yeah. It is.
Well, after floating my ego, appreciate it, Ben. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys.